Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you. And I listened to you a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't see you, of course. So I value the link that we have online, as we call it. So I welcome people online. It's good to be sharing together, especially this morning, with God's Word. Well, we come today to our text, which is in Galatians and chapter 5 and verse 23. But I'll read 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. So we've enjoyed looking at the letter to the Galatian church. We've kind of lately just focused in on these two verses, really, these fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we are doing this morning as we look at the fruit of gentleness. As I previously said, there is sort of one fruit and nine flavors. And gentleness is one of the flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it was D.L. Moody who suggested that love really is the only fruit. It's the first one. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And the remaining, they are merely flavors of love. And that's an interesting concept. I'm sure he's not unique in thinking that, really. If we remember 1 Corinthians 13, of course, we realize that without love, whatever we're doing, thinking, or whatever it is, we achieve nothing, and we have nothing, and we are nothing. So the first thing that God wants to do to us, as he gives us his Holy Spirit, is to give us love, that we love one another, we love him, we love his word, and we love the lost and long for them to be brought to Jesus. I won't spend time on this, but it's been suggested that in that case, love, joy is love dancing, okay? And peace is love resting. And you could go through the list. I won't do that this morning. But we did notice that the nine flavors are actually set in three lots of three. That seems to be the way it is, and they reflect really our relationship with God himself, love, joy, peace, and with other people, patience, kindness, and goodness, and the victory that God gives us in our own hearts as faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just three major headings, and I hope this will make sense. Defining goodness, gentleness, sorry. I suppose I mean not so much a definition from a dictionary, but as we look at Scripture, what does this lovely fruit flavor mean, and how will we find and possess a gentle spirit? Well, the first thing is, it's not the flesh, but the Spirit. You'll see that verse 22 began, but the fruit of the Spirit, because previously he'd spoken about the works of the flesh and how awful they are. And we feel the embarrassment as we know that in our hearts, our natural thing is that we will run after the works of the flesh rather than the fruit of the Spirit. So God deals with us not by our flesh, but by his Spirit. He puts his Spirit in our hearts so that we might be those who hear his voice and who long for that voice, and we feel and know that he is with us. He helps us through our problems and so on. But the point I want to make here, I suppose, is that we mustn't think that I'm coming or anybody else is coming and saying, no, look, you've got to be more gentle. You see, because the world is a terrible place, and it would be wonderful if we could all be more gentle. In other words, it's something that we think we can find in our own hearts. And people will tell you, and we probably said the same thing when we were younger and away from God and so on. Well, I'm reasonably gentle, you know, I'm not too bad a person, you see. We are bad. Yes, naturally we are. Naturally, we don't possess this wonderful array of gifts and fruits rather than gifts at the moment. We run after being cross and angry and upset and these things. But when God gives us His Spirit, it isn't to do with the flesh. It isn't something that we've got naturally within us. It's something that He puts within us. We are to put on gentleness. The Lord's servant must be gentle, Paul said to Timothy. And in another place, the Lord's servant must not be a bully, but gentle. You see, in our flesh, we are people, aren't we, as human people? And Christians especially, we can be like this, and so can politicians, I suppose. You see, we have to be right. We've got to be right. And we've got to win the argument, and you know we've got to send people away knowing the truth. But the Holy Spirit fruit is gentleness. You know, I nailed him to the floor. Well, is that really a good idea? I mean, do we want to be nailing people to the floor? No, we don't. We want God to speak to them. And we want to persuade people. We want to be able to speak to people about their souls and about God and about heaven and forgiveness and so on. Because we have to remember, God was gentle with us. He gently brought us to know the truth. And God give us this Holy Spirit that we will not just want to win arguments. We can win arguments and lose people. And that's not what God wants. secondly, gentleness is not a work, but fruit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at this before, so I don't need to go on too much about it. But growth is not only a gradual process as garden things grow and everything, but it is an organic union. It is because we are spiritually attached and connected with God that we find this gentleness. The passions and desires of the flesh are always somewhere near, and we need to be careful that we're not grieving the Spirit, but we're conscious of pursuing the life of God that He has given us in our souls. And thirdly, this fruit of the Spirit of gentleness is not weakness, but is powerful. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is God, of course. The Spirit of God, who made heaven and earth, was brooding on the face of the waters, we read in Genesis, don't we? That was God's Spirit who was doing that. And He's the most powerful person in the history of mankind. We worry about the power that some people have in the world, even today, and in history and so on. Let's not forget that the Holy Spirit is powerful. In Proverbs, we read, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so we can kind of have an impression that this gentleness business is really a bit of a soft option, you know. And we remember the sneering way in which people, unfortunately, speak of Jesus as being gentle and mild and so on. But gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit is exhibited amid the difficulties of life and the circumstances which require us to be gentle when we could be other than that. That's something of the word, apparently, in the Greek understanding of it. And I notice that when we come to look at 1 Thessalonians in a minute, Paul said, we were gentle among you, but he also says earlier, we were bold in God as we preached the gospel to you. So the gentleness of the Holy Spirit's gift to us, fruit to us, is not precluding us being bold, adventurous almost, and certainly being confident. So gentle is not being timid, but having a strength that God gives. We tell people the truth. We need to do that. We need to not deceive people. Remember that Elijah, of course, famously discovered this aspect of God, that in his great stress and insecurity ran away to the mountain of God. And you know the story. And God was not in the earthquake, great earthquake. He was not in the wind. He was not in the fire. Is God not those things? Yes, he is. But he wasn't for Elijah. As Elijah endured this terrifying experience, crashing things and everything. And after, it says, came the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit as he spoke to Elijah and put his life back on track, really. The hymn writer Harriet Alba says this, and his, the Holy Spirit, and his the gentle voice we hear, soft as the breath of evening, that checks each fault and calms each fear and speaks of heaven. God speaks to us gently. That's my experience. And how wonderful it is. There may be stuff going on, but out of the word comes his voice. And the Lord Jesus, of course, is the great example of gentleness in the sense of which this is in here. In Philippians chapter 2, the great passage about letting our minds be the same as Jesus. It says that Christ, who although he was God, yet did not grasp that, but freely gave himself up for our sins and our salvation. That was gentleness in the sense of which we should understand it. He could be something different, but he has chosen to be gentle. He has chosen a complete absence of self. How powerful it was that Jesus went to the cross. But his mindset is to be our mindset. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2, because this is the passage given to us to think about the outworking of gentleness in church life as it happens here in the letter to 1 Thessalonians. And of course the text we're pointed to is verse 7b. We were gentle among you as a nurse, and the margin has nursing mother with her own children. But I want to make it clear that, of course, unfortunately not every person can understand or have this picture of motherhood and fatherhood in a good way. We need to be clear that there are those whose experience is quite different, and hearing about being mother or father or something is a problem and can be painful. We're aware of this, but as we seek to open this glorious truth about the caring and compassionate biblical mother and father. So I got to thinking, well, Paul says we were gentle among you. What does that actually mean? And I think the passage actually brings out one or two interesting things for us to be helped by. You were gentle like a nursing mother. So I think of the power of a mother, the love of a mother for her children. What can stand in the way of a mother if there's something about her child that's concerned? There's a squeal of brakes, you know, in the garden, and there's a lady running up the road. Who is that lady? She's the mother of somebody who might be knocked over or in problems and so on. We know this. This is a natural thing, and the picture is of that sort of selfless concern, and everything, every fibre of the mother's being, is used not for her own safety but for that of her child. Indeed, there's a marginal reading in our version of scripture that instead we were gentle among you could be infants. We became infants. So what Paul is saying is we actually became like children in the sense that we wanted to be open and not have any ulterior motives and so on. This is, I think, something to do with this gentleness. But this lady, I'm saying that, is a nursing mother. And that means, of course, she has a baby, an infant baby, who has all that helplessness and need and stuff of what it's like when you have a new life in your home. It's a great, powerful picture, isn't it, of our church fellowship together, how we deal with each other, how we think of each other, and we give ourselves for each other, like a mother, like a nursing mother who has to do everything for her baby. In many parts of the world, of course, this is true, that for baby there really is only mum. I was thinking of the paraphernalia that we had when we had our children. All sorts of stuff. In fact, in point of fact, it wasn't a great deal in Elizabeth's case. Got a bit more for Rachel, you know. There's baths, there's seats, there's pram things, there's all this stuff. There's alarms so that when they're in bed, you can hear them breathing and so on. And oh my word, you remember that? You know, are they breathing? You know, it's a very real thing, especially if you're a bloke. Actually, it's kind of worrying. Paul says he was like a mother. So he has a proper understanding of this infant. There is only mum, you see. And you can go to many parts of the world now where that's true. There's the baby, and he or she is on the back of the mother as she's hoeing in the field or something like that. You know, they have to be there with them. Or maybe the cloth is put down somewhere. Although perhaps they wouldn't do that because there might be snakes and things. Mum is all there is for the child. There isn't a great paraphernalia of stuff. Is the baby hungry? It might be very inconvenient, but it's got to be mum. You understand what I mean? This picture of this mother, I thought this was so interesting. That as we think of in terms of church and pastoral things and so on, we want to be people who God will give to us that picture, that our child, our care and concern is to be paramount, especially for young Christians, especially for people who are still finding their way into Christianity, into following Jesus. That we loved you so much, says Paul in here. So Paul was gentle like a mother, but I noticed that he was also genuine. In verses 3-6, you find that he's talking about, we didn't come with error or impurity or intent to deceive. that they had been approved by the gospel, by God, to be entrusted with the gospel. So they spoke not pleasing people, but rather God who examines our hearts. We didn't use flattery. God is our witness. We didn't seek glory from people, either from you or from others. There was this genuineness about Paul and his companions as they came to deal with this church. The beginnings of the Thessalonian church were really quite hard, weren't they? We had that disgraceful business in Philippi, the imprisonment, then release and so on. You can read about it in the Acts of the Apostles. It was not straightforward by any means. And so Paul is genuine, and mothers are genuine, aren't they? They don't do things from falsehood and so on. And I think they were generous, verses 7-9. Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle. What does that mean? Well, Paul was entitled to be supported as an apostle. He was entitled to be looked after and cared for and so on. And yet, what did he do? He didn't do that. He went to work. He went out to work. He worked hard so that night and day, he says, so that we wouldn't be a burden to you. That's exactly like a parent, isn't it, really? Working night and day in order to be a good mum, a good parent. Later on, of course, he speaks about being a father. That's a different aspect than mother, but it's the same kind of idea, isn't it? We want our children to know, in our case now, we want our children to know Jesus and to walk with him. And so we will work and do what we need to do for that. And finally then, desiring good gentleness. Surely we, if this is a fruit of the Spirit, then we need to be people who desire what God has for us and from his Holy Spirit. We find that God calls us into his kingdom and glory in the end of verse 12. This fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace and so on. We want to remind ourselves now that the person that it comes from is the person of the Holy Spirit. But to desire the Holy Spirit is to desire Jesus. I follow the London City Mission prayer booklet, and last week one of the missionaries had this prayer request. He said, pray for more of God in my life and more of the Holy Spirit. There's always more space for God. And I ask you to pray that I will have a much closer relationship with him. I was struck by that. Dear brother, who is very fruitful in his ministry, and yet actually, when it comes down to it, I want more of God in my life. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to hear his voice. I want to be sent out by him into a mission of the world. The old hymn writer, O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me till all things else recede. My heart be daily nearer thee and from sin be daily freed. More of your glory let me see, thou holy, wise and true. I would thy living image be in joy and sorrow too. It says that God calls us into his kingdom. That call is most especially exemplified in the lovely words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-29. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn of me, because I am lowly and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Have you come to Jesus? Have you wandered from him? Have you found less of him in these days? Is the world pressing in? Listen to this great invitation and respond to it. Let the Lord Jesus call you to himself, because he is humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would impress upon us that which is really important, that you would remove from us that which is unimportant and insignificant. And Father, may we see Jesus, and may we follow him all the days of our life. And may we exhibit in our lives those wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit, because in doing so, Lord, we will reflect your glory and your wonder and your love and joy and peace and long-suffering and patience and guidance and gentleness and self-control. We pray for your aid and help in this, as we thank you for your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.